When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Visions of Love podcast. In today's episode, we begin an interview with Dave Andrus, pastor to the blind with Lutheran Braille Workers. David is blind himself, and today he discusses the ministries that he has worked with and how he has become affiliated with Lutheran Braille Workers. He also discusses barriers that the blind face and also barriers that sighted people face whenever they meet blind people. We hope you will enjoy the episode and thank you for listening. God bless you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part one of our interview with Dave Andrus.
Hi, everybody. We're introducing our guest, Dave Andrus. He has had a lot of ministries to the blind, but if you can't see, don't turn it off. This is both to the physically and spiritually blind, wouldn't you say, Dave?
Indeed. That blindness can cover so many areas that it isn't. Well, in fact, God even talks about that, how spiritually we can understand how we don't see and comprehend Him, even as people who are blind don't see physically to be aware of things. And so God uses that to help us understand.
So we're trying to build a bridge here. Why don't you tell us about some of the ministries you've been involved in, Dave?
Okay. Let me back up just a step further. I lost my sight when I was 11 years old, and my mom encouraged me, don't give up, keep on trying, do everything you can, and she pushed me hard so that I went away to college. Not sure what I wanted to be. It was a professor there who said, why don't you be a pastor? And so he convinced me, and so my first ministry was really just a congregation in St. Louis, a large congregation. And there were two pastors, myself and the other. And so 13 years I was just your regular old pastor. After that, that's when I then went to blind ministry, Lutheran Blind Mission, and that was based here in St. Louis. And it was at that time when I first joined in 1998, just Braille, large print, and audio. But the Lord led me to add faith-based support groups. We started 90 of them around the country. Not all of them were successful, and there's still about 47 of them that are running still today, where people who are blind gather together once a month for meals, for fellowship, and the Word of God.
As far as the support groups, did they delve into different things that we need to know about, like screen readers and different things like that, or was it just basically based on, you know, what God was doing in their life and teaching them about discipling them more?
Actually, neither of those. Some of them tried to do some work with helping people with training. The idea with these were especially to connect with people who had first lost their sight. And lost their sight, meaning within 2 to 5 years. And to help them with some basic skills, which you can get elsewhere, but so many people fall through the cracks, especially as they get older. It was just a simple, friendly encouragement and tricks of the trade, as you might say. How to find a coin when you drop it on the floor with the circles going smaller and bigger until you finally touch it. Just simple things. And by doing that, they go, "Why are you being so nice?" And we could say, "Well, we're nice because God's been nice to us." And it just led to conversations then. We didn't push Christianity or discipleship, but just friendship and encouragement. And in front of that, many things happened.
Uh-huh. So it was kind of like making friends with the people and being a friend to people and letting them open up. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct. We waited for them to open up. Yes.
That's
and
good.
Within a year or two, they did. It sometimes took a while, depending on the person.
What are some of the big barriers that you see that on both sides, the blindness issue and on people who can see, have built up walls concerning blindness?
It is because of our society, which has moved into a technological automobile society, that one of the big barriers are a lot of sighted people aren't familiar with people who are blind. People who are blind have kind of slipped into the woodwork. And so when you find a person who's blind, they don't know what to do. And so some of our training in these groups also were to help train sighted people how to just relax. We use the word SALE, S-A-L-E, stop, ask, listen, evaluate. Excited people too often just want to rush in and do something. That's where the stop. Don't do that.
I know that's
can I
right.
You? Mm-hmm. And then listen to what they say and then evaluate. So if the person's crossing the street and says, "No, I don't need any help. Did you see a Mack truck coming?" Well, then yeah, you probably should reach out and help them. But not to just do for somebody without the interaction.
Right.
So that's
right.
A big barrier of sighted people. People who are blind, their barriers, fear of getting hurt, fear of being cared, so they'll get enough resources to go on living. And then the other big barrier, it's not really a barrier, but the big problem we found was lack of purpose and meaning.
Uh-huh.
That gave people into despair.
Right. I know when I worked in the hospital, I had my dog at first. It was just like what you're saying. I mean, people would try and do things that I could do, and naturally I was familiar with that, but I had a good friend who was my supervisor who got me to realize, hey, these people just want to help. They're not saying you're a moron.
Just want to help. Yeah.
I would take it wrong.
Me too. And so what I try to do just happened this weekend. Well, let me help you to the door. I don't need help, but I'll take your arm and we'll just walk together, is what I try to say now. But it's hard. Sure, it's hard. And then the other extreme is when sighted people don't know what to do, sometimes they stay away. They stay away. And so instead of super help, there's no help whatsoever. And somewhere, sighted people have to learn there's the balance. not super help. Don't stay away. They're not like a virus that they're going to catch it or something.
Right.
Just talk and ask, what can I do for you?
And then one thing maybe I'd add, as far as what I said, is that sometimes maybe people sincerely want to help and they don't know how. And sometimes we take that wrong.
That is very true.
And so sometimes people are pushed away.
They can be. Yeah. About 5 years ago, I merged Lutheran Blind Mission with Lutheran Braille Workers and stepped away from that. Oh gosh,
yes.
That's been more than five. That's six or seven now. And I wasn't sure exactly what God wanted me to do, and I, for about a year, I didn't do a whole lot. I have a daughter who is at home who has a disability, and so some of the time I would take to care for her, which has been a good help for me to turn around and help people one-on-one. And it's, it's paranoid schizophrenia, and so it's a mental disease that is totally different than anything else. And so I had to learn how to work with a person who's disabled, and that was a good learning lesson. During that time, then I also started podcasting myself, and now we do two podcasts. One's a Bible study, and one's a thought for the week, trying to connect with something that a person who's blind really can relate to. And then I help out part-time with the church.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I'm doing now.
You're a pastor now also, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that I had read that. I did my homework, and I looked up everything.
Yep.
What do you think, you know, people can do to make themselves more accessible, say, like in the mainstream? I'm using that word kind of, largely, but I mean so that maybe we can get out into the general public so people can see us and see that it's not this horrific problem that they think.
Well, you've asked three different questions there, Tim, actually. One is to get out in the mainstream, and sometimes that takes a lot of encouragement for some people to do that. And so that does mean one will have to take an arm or take a ride or be deliberate and go out of your way to get into the mainstream. The second thing, then, that you mentioned would be to not see oneself as the only one. It's actually my wife who regularly says, she says, you think you have a corner on problems and issues in life? Well, let me tell you, Buster. And she's sighted. She's fine. And as you look at her, but she has bright red hair. Well, she did have bright red hair, like a copper penny. Now we're both in our 60s, and it's kind of gone to more to a bleached out blonde. In junior high, this made her stand out, and they picked on her to no end. So she hated her red hair when she was in junior high and high school. It wasn't until she got to college and people said, oh, your hair, it's so beautiful. What bottle did you get it from? She said, it's no bottle, it's my real hair. You're kidding, that's your... And then she started seeing herself as beautiful. So part of the issue is, how do we see ourselves? As disabled or able? If we see ourselves as God has made us, we are able. We're different, sure. We may view the world differently, yes. We may interact some slightly different as we do cooking or cleaning. We do things slightly different when we're blind. But that doesn't mean we're not people. It doesn't
right.
mean we're not loved by God.
No, and that's basically where my strength comes from. What about you?
My wife actually helped me when she told me this story, and she regularly, she says, takes a 2x4 and hits me over the head to say, Dave, you're not alone. You're not that unique, because everybody has a disability. Everybody
right.
has a disability.
That's correct. Yep.
Everybody has a limitation. Nobody is perfect. Nobody.
And one of the biggest limitations, or the biggest limitation, is sin.
Very true. Oh my goodness, very true. And again, maybe I'm repeating myself, but one of the biggest things that sin does is makes us think we're the only ones, or we're standing
right,
out,
exactly.
we're unusual, and we're alone. No,
That's a good point, because sin not only separates you from God, but it alienates you from your fellow
other people. Yes.
Exactly. That's a great point. So, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, please.
I'm doing two podcasts. One is, I just look for something that's unique or different about my week or day. I try to make it something that a person with a disability, because I am blind, totally blind, my disability usually focuses on blindness, something not always, and then relate that somehow to something that can relate to God and how He relates to us. And then the other Bible study I do with Cecilia. Cecilia is totally blind. She actually helps us open many of the outreach centers. And so our relationship goes way back to year 2000. 20 years we've been working together on different things. And she runs audio. And so we work through the Bible. Right now we're in the book of Exodus, although we've done many books of the Bible. And we'll continue to work through. We try to make it a fun, light thing, but serious enough that you get into the text. And because most of the people that hear it is over 100 people who are blind, about another 300 who are sighted, believe it or not, who listen, not all of them can read a Bible. So we make sure we read the sections that you need to hear, and then we talk about it. All about
you. That concludes part one of this interview. We hope that you're enjoying it, and please stay tuned for part two of this interview in 2 weeks. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.